Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
I wonder how many in here, let's do this by a show of hands. How many of you have ever done an escape room? If you've done an escape room, raise your hand. Okay, a couple of you. So my family recently did an escape room. And if you're not familiar with escape rooms, essentially you pay money to be locked in a room that you can't get out of until you figure it out. Right, that's the premise, is how it works. So you're like looking for clues that unlock this and open this door and whatever. And so that's essentially the premise behind an escape room. Now, I'm like thinking about this and going, okay, there is nothing more fun than taking a family of seven, leaving your 2,500 square foot home and putting yourself into 170 square feet of space and locking yourself in there for 60 minutes, right? Like that's, and if you wanna, this is a pro tip. If you wanna amp up the level of entertainment, bring a two-year-old with you and lock them in there as well. It is amazing when you're under the time crunch to try to break out of a room, the personalities that develop, the way stress comes out and anxiety. It was amazing. It's like, oh, I didn't know that about you, right? And I was like, I didn't know that about me. Like, you know, oh man, it's like stuff came out about me in my own life. It's like, that was crazy. But it was wild. It was a lot of fun. So check it out if you never have before. But, you know, this idea of doing an escape room a couple of weeks ago got me really thinking. Because essentially, I mean, you can leave the room anytime you want, right? That's the bonus of that. But I started thinking about that in light of the series that we're in right now and kind of going, okay, like there are people who are trapped in religion, right? They're like trapped in religion and they don't know how to escape, right? You've got some who are trapped in the religion of career. They're trapped in the religion of pursuing wealth. They're trapped in the religion of political power. They're trapped in the religion of relationship fulfillment, bouncing from relationship to relationship, person to person. They're trapped in the religion of pleasure, right? Just whatever will give me that dopamine hit or will make me happy, right? And you're like, some people are trapped in whatever your form of religion is. Some of you don't even know that you're trapped in it. And there's others who do know that they're trapped, but they have no clue how to get out. They have no clue how to escape. They have no clue how to break free from what they're in. And so I think that is an ultimate question, is how do you escape religion? Whatever form it comes in. It's very often to think like, oh, well, religion, we're talking about church and we're talking about rituals and traditions. But actually, when you think about the nature of religion, it's very, very broad. It's much larger than church or even faith. How in the world are you supposed to escape religion? Well, as Pastor Matt mentioned, if you brought a Bible with you, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 12. If you brought that with you, you can turn there now or click on your device. While you're going to Matthew chapter 12, which is the first book in the New Testament, I do want to welcome you. My name's Fritz. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm really grateful every single one of you are here today, took time out of your weekend on a Sunday morning to join us as we worship the Lord and we talk about Scripture. And so thanks for being here. I also want to welcome all of our first-time guests who are here today, and I want to welcome everybody who's joining online at Lighthouse Online. Thanks for being with us. If you're in Hancock County, maybe you're somewhere else a little bit further away, thanks for being a part of our family. And Lighthouse family, can we just take a moment, and can we just welcome all of our first-time guests and everybody at Lighthouse Online and let them know we love you. Thank you for being with us today. We're in this series called Missed It, and we're talking about how you can break free from religion to step into real, genuine faith. And we've been going through Matthew 12 because Matthew 12 has a number of these encounters between Jesus and religious leaders, and it's amazing that they have the Son of God right in front of them, and they missed it, right? Largely, because of their commitment to religion, and they were blinded by religion. And listen, as your pastor, I don't want anybody to be blinded by religion. We want everybody to walk in genuine faith with Jesus Christ, and so that's why we're going through this series. Before we go any further, let's take a moment and pray. Let's do that. God, there, like, just being transparent before my friends and family this morning and before you, like, I am both really excited to talk about truth from your scripture, and at the same time, there is a level of anxiety and nervousness within me because, Lord, I want to get it right. I want people to see you. I don't want people to, you know, think about, well, that's what Fritz thinks about the passage, or he can keep our attention for a few minutes longer than someone else, whatever it might be. Lord, we're just asking the Spirit to come and do the ministry that He does, which is lead us in the truth of Scripture, reveals the clarity of Jesus, and that we would put our full hope and weight in Him. So we ask these things humbly, but also with a lot of boldness, through the good name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we're in this passage, Matthew 12. We're going to look at verses 38 through 45, if I'm remembering. It might be 43. It's 45, sorry. But before I read the passage, I want to give you what I think is kind of the central theme on what Jesus is doing here. Essentially, it appears to me that Jesus is showing the religious leaders how to escape from the religion that they're in, okay? Now, it's going to require faith, it's going to require courage, but he's essentially laying out, this is how you can break free from religion and how you can escape. So let's talk about, how do I escape from religion? First thing is this, you have to understand that religion makes you worse. The intent is to make you better, but it actually ends up making you worse. That is the direction, the trend that religion always takes a person. It makes you worse. Jesus is having a conversation, Matthew 12, 38 through 39. Some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." And look at Jesus' response. He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Okay? So what you have here is you have the Pharisees coming to Jesus, the religious leaders coming to Jesus, and they go, "We want a sign. Show us a miracle. Show us a sign from heaven to prove that you are from God." Right? And I'm reading that. I'm kind of going, hello? Like, were you not here just a couple verses before? Like, remember, Jesus healed a man with a shriveled hand right there in the synagogue. He's healing people who are coming to him. He had just set free a demon-possessed man in the verses right in front of that. They had just seen all of these signs, and they're going, "Show us a sign so that we know you're from God." And Jesus says, no. Why does he say no? Because he knows that this is a setup, right? The intent is, right, you'll show us a sign, and what are they going to do? They're going to do the exact thing they did, what Larry talked about last week. They're going to take this sign, and they're going to twist it. And they're going to say, well, the only reason you can do this is because you have power from Satan. The only reason you can do this is you've got some kind of trickery, some kind of magic, right? They're just going to twist it. And so Jesus is like, no, I'm not giving you any sign at all. And I think this is an important part, is to a degree, miracles in and of themselves are really never enough. Think about that. Like, miracles in and of themselves typically tend to never be enough, and they've never been enough. I mean, think about the Old Testament. If you've read the Old Testament before, especially if you look at Exodus and beyond, you have the nation of Israel is trapped in slavery to Egypt. Through these 10 miraculous plagues, God sets Israel free from slavery. Not only does he set them free from slavery in Egypt, they walk across the Red Sea on dry land. Not only that, they have a pillar of cloud leading them by day. They have a pillar of fire leading them by night. When they're walking through the wilderness, their sandals never wear out. Their robes never wear out. God gives them this manna from heaven. Quail just shows up. They're getting water from a rock. There's all of these miracles and signs that God is taking care of them. And what's the thing you consistently hear them say in the Old Testament?
We wish we were back in Egypt. Well, at least we had herbs there. Right? Like, that was, you know, and so they had all, like, God is doing all of these miracles right in front of them, and it's not enough to convince them that they're walking with the creator of the universe.
In fact, there's a point where God gets so fed up with the generation of them that in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 35, he says, not one of you from this wicked generation will live to see the good land that I swore to give your ancestors. Because no miracle was ever enough. You have to understand, religion does not make you better. Religion actually makes you worse. We've seen it over the last few weeks. Religion will lead you to condemn people, calling it sin, when they're breaking man-made rules, but not even scripture. Religion will lead you to see the work of God right in front of you and attribute it to Satan. Religion will harden your heart. Religion will actually put you in a place where you are opposed to God. Religion will do things like taking a personal calling or a personal conviction that you feel for your own life and you're very passionate about, and religion will say, well, if I'm passionate about it, then everybody should be passionate about it. And if you're not passionate about it, then you're not really following Jesus Christ like I am. Religion makes people worse. It'll steal your focus from God, and it'll lead you down a path you never really wanted to go. And so Jesus says, he says, listen, you wicked and evil generation, no, right? You have to understand that religion always makes us worse. Here's the second breadcrumb that Jesus leaves about escaping religion. It's this: you have to let Jesus change your mind. You have to let Jesus change your mind. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus is still speaking. He says, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not really familiar with Jonah, let me give you just a quick broad brushstroke on who Jonah was. So Jonah was a prophet of God who God sent him on a mission to go preach his word to the Ninevites. And Jonah didn't want to do it because the Ninevites were a very evil culture, a very evil group. These were enemies of Israel. And Jonah's like, I don't want to do it. I'm not going. So not only does he not go to where God calls him to, he runs in the opposite direction. And I'll just put it this way. There's a boat trip. There's a storm. There's living in a fish for 3 days and fish puke. Okay, that's all in that account. Go read that account. It's an Old Testament book by the name Jonah. Read it. It's a short read. It's awesome. Check it out. But so if I lived in a fish for 3 days, that's probably enough to convince me to change my mind, right? To go do what God is asking me to do. So he goes to Nineveh. He walks through the city for about a day, gets into the middle of the city, and he preaches one of the most simple messages I've ever read in my life. And in fact, it's like 8 words. That's his message, is like 8 words. Here's what it is. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's his sermon, okay? That's pretty short. I know for some of you going, that sounds wonderful, right? Like, could we have sermons that short here at Lighthouse? No, right? I'm not that good of a preacher to get it down to 8 words. But so he preaches these 8 words, and here's what you have to understand. 120,000 people repented of their sin and turned to God. That is amazing. That is a powerful powerful ministry. I have never seen or been a part of a guy saying 8 words and then this very evil nation turning from evil and turning to God. They repented. And Jesus looks at the religious leaders and he says, you know those evil Ninevites, those pagans, those horrible people? They're more righteous than you are. Why? Because they repented. They turned away from their evil. The religious leaders wouldn't repent. Let's talk about this word repentance, because I think it's a word that we use here quite often in Lighthouse. If you've been a part of the church, if you read the scriptures, you'll see the word repent or repentance in there. I want to give you a really, really baseline definition of what the word repent or repentance means at its core, the irreducible minimum. Repentance is simply this: changing your mind. That's what repentance is. Repentance is changing your mind. Now, when we talk about it in the biblical sense, in the Christian sense, we're specifically talking about changing your mind about life. You're turning away from sin, right? I'm no longer living life under my own leadership. Now I am walking with God, right? I am trusting him. That's what repentance is in the biblical sand frame. And here's what you need to know. God wants you to change your mind. Did you know that? God actually wants you to change your mind and to repent. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says this: the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but what? Everyone to come to repentance. God's desire is for you and for me to come to repentance, to change our minds about sin, to change our minds about him, that essentially that sin is a pitch in the dirt, it's a waste of time, it always leads to death and separation, and that walking with God is better than any other life that I could create for myself. God wants you to change your mind. Here's the challenge. Changing your mind is very, very difficult. If you've ever tried to change your mind, you know how challenging that changing your mind can be, because we have a lot of support encouraging us to maintain our current mindset. I don't know if you knew that, but certain habits that you have in your life support you to maintain the mindset that you have right now. Certain social circles that you run in support you to keep the same mindset that you have right now. The identity that you've taken on and adopted, the thinking patterns that you have. Ego, let's not even talk about ego, right? Like, ego tells me I'm right, and if you come with something different, you're wrong. Because if you were right, I would have already believed you, because I believe right things, right? That's what ego leads us to believe. And so there's so many things pushing in for us to stay right where we're at. So the question is, well, how do we change our mind then? If it's so challenging, if it's so difficult, how is it that we go about repenting? How do we change our mind? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I think is really helpful. And in fact, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with "don't copy." Are you ready? Go. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by..." Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How do we change our minds? Romans 12, 2 tells us this: you have to let God change your mind. You've got to let God transform you by changing your mind. That's the way forward. You have to understand, in order for you to legitimately change your mind, it is a work of the Spirit. It is a work of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel being applied to your life and to your mind and to your heart again and again and again, where you're actively resisting the patterns and the behaviors and the customs of this world, and you're inviting the Holy Spirit to lead you to walk in the character of Jesus Christ. And one of the most practical steps that I could encourage you, and I do this for my own life as well, is to simply read the Bible. To simply read the Bible. That is a great first step in changing your mind. in letting God transform you is to simply read Scripture. Because when you're reading the Bible, it is causing you to think God's thoughts. When you're reading the Bible, you are reading God's words, and in the process of that, He is renewing your mind. He is challenging you with truth, where areas of my life where I've maybe adopted lies, where my identity says, this is where I find my value, the Scripture causes me to think differently, right? That's what I love. See, when you read the Scripture, it is powerful. Check out this verse from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says this, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow." And check this out, that the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. When you're reading the Scriptures are reading you. When you're reading the Scriptures, it's like holding a mirror up to the deepest part of who you are, and you begin to see ways that you are already been made in the character of Jesus Christ and ways where you don't line up and match at all. And the Spirit goes, hey, we have more work to do in transforming and in changing your mind. This just the simple act of reading the Scriptures by faith can transform your life. And so here's the next step that I would encourage everybody to consider. It's to simply, if you've never read the Bible, start reading the Bible. Just start reading the Bible. And if you're not sure where to start, I think there's a next step on the back of your connection card talking about Bible reading plans. We will help you. There's a one that I really enjoy. It's not on there, but actually you can just write Bible reading plans in the comments or prayer section. We'll send over a couple of favorite ones that I think are a good place to start. But just simply reading the Bible is helpful. If you're not on a Bible reading plan, let me encourage you, jump on one. And just, man, start reading and growing in that. It is absolutely central. In fact, there is a next step on the back of your connection card saying, hey, would you send me the simple Bible study guide? And so what we've done is created a simple Bible study guide. By the way, I use this every day. This is just from my own personal life. Not too long ago, pulled our kids together and I said, hey guys, I want to invite you to try what I'm doing. It actually works with any Bible reading plan. I'm reading through the Bible in a year, going through some stuff. It works in that. One of my sons does the Bible verse a day through the Bible app, and he's using this on that. So it really does work with any Bible reading plan that you're on, and it'll lead you to understand who God is to a greater degree, and it will let Jesus change your mind. But if you want to escape religion, you've got to invite Jesus to change your mind, to transform who you are from the inside out. All right, here's the third breadcrumb that Jesus leaves for us on how to escape religion. It's this: listen to Jesus and learn from Jesus. Matthew chapter 12, verse 42 says this, "The queen of the south will rise at the judgment when this generation, with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here." So again, you might not be familiar with the queen of the south or the queen of Sheba. You can find out more about her from 2 Chronicles chapter 9. But she set out, she's like this very successful woman. She's leading an entire country. I don't know if you've ever led an entire country before or not, but she did. She's successful, she's wealthy. And she's like, you know what? I've heard about this guy named Solomon. I want to find out more about him. So she travels to Israel to test his wisdom, to learn about his God, and to enhance their trade relations. When she shows up and sees Solomon and sees what God is doing through her, 2 Chronicles 9 says that she was overwhelmed. The literal translation of that word is she had no breath in her. She was breathless seeing what was going on, and she realized, as successful as she was leading her country, she had something to learn from Solomon, right? This is an absolute key difference between those who are committed to their religion versus those who are walking in genuine faith. See, those who are very, very religious are interested in telling you everything that they know about everything and everything that they believe about everything. And they are right about everything that they have to share with you about. Whereas people, Jesus followers, who are walking in genuine faith, they know that they have more to learn. And specifically, more to learn from Jesus. It is a set point of humility. It is a set point of humbleness before the Lord and before others to go, I don't have it all figured out. That's why Jesus is my leader and my forgiver. There's a reason why I'm not in charge of my life anymore, right? Like me personally, I was in charge of the first part of my life and I wasn't alive that long and I'd already screwed it up, right? Within the first 17 years, I'd blown it. It doesn't take long. I need Jesus as the leader and forgiver of my life. He is a much better leader than I am. There's actually a story. There's an account in Luke chapter 10 about two sisters. One is named Mary and the other was named Martha. And in the account, Martha is like busy doing stuff and helping. And she's like, you know, cooking things and cleaning things and moving things and all this kind of stuff. And then her sister Mary is just like sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from him, enjoying being with him. And Martha goes, Jesus, you need to make her help me. I'm doing all the stuff and she's just sitting here, right? I have a feeling Martha was the older sister, right? I don't know. We have any older sisters and brothers in here? Yeah, you're like the responsible ones who are doing stuff. I'm the baby of the family, right? So like everything went my way. It was all in my direction. Like, oh, look how cute he is, right? So like Mary's probably the younger. And she's like, Jesus, you got to make her help. She's not doing anything. You know what Jesus' response was? Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. He says, Martha, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is one of the ways you escape religion, is you stop being so busy doing stuff for God that you're just with him. You're just with him. You're in his presence. You enjoy being with him, right? And when you listen to Jesus, when you learn from Jesus, what's amazing is he'll open up the door for new opportunities. Which begs the question, well then how am I supposed to listen to Jesus and how am I supposed to learn from Jesus? And there was a lever. I was going, okay, we could teach through this and give some practical stuff, or we could like bring some people up who are in the process of doing this in real time in their own lives. And so what I want to invite you to do is I want to invite up a couple of friends with me this morning to hear about how God's working in their life. And so I'm wondering, would you guys welcome up Ben and Brianna Schultz this morning as they come to share with us today?
Got them.
Good. Hey, Brianna. Welcome. Come on. Yeah, all the way over here. We got to be in the middle of the stage, right in here. Thanks, Ben. All right. Got the stools. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Okay. So Ben and Brianna Schultz, let me set this up for you real quick. So this is a young couple in our church who are preparing to go spend a full year at Karanda Mission Hospital in Zimbabwe. Some of you do know them, but today we wanted everybody to hear their story and their calling and how it is that we can come alongside you in the process of that. And so the hope is this morning, as you listen to them and what they're sharing, you'll not only be encouraged by their faith and the steps that they're taking, but you'll actually consider how God might be calling you to take some steps of faith in obedience to him in your own life. So you guys ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. You're good? Okay. Oh, yeah. Brianna's like, let's go. I'm ready. Okay. Brianna, how did you first get connected with the Karanda Mission Hospital and what is it that drew you back for a full year this time?
We both grew up wanting to do engineering and missions together and figure out how that could work out. So in college, I got the chance through my senior design project to work on a water system for this hospital at Karanda in Zimbabwe. And we got to go there and install it, which was a really cool opportunity to see how engineering and missions could work together and how that really opened the door for us to share the gospel with people. So after that trip, we came back, started working normal jobs, and I was sitting at work one day and I was like, what am I doing? Why am I not over there right now, like working on the water system and just sharing the gospel with people? And I came home, we were sitting in our living room, and I told Ben what I'd been thinking about, and he said, you know, I've been thinking the exact same thing. which was a pretty cool God moment, and we knew that that was definitely God calling us back to serve for a full year.
Yeah, no, that is awesome. So Ben, how did you see God preparing you through your experiences here in Ohio for what he's calling you guys to do in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, looking back, it's definitely a lot clearer, all the things that he's been preparing for us, and I know Brianna can speak to even a little bit more on the skills side. Just some weird things that happen that don't seem so weird anymore.
Yeah.
But especially starting at Cedarville requires everyone take a Bible minor. So we ended up taking a lot of biblical studies, theology classes, a lot of Bible literature, just preparing us to teach, I think. And then coming here and joining Lighthouse, there's a big effort from you guys as the church leadership to open up opportunities to the church body to develop lesson plans. Like how we were involved with the How to Read the Bible class and small groups, and eventually kind of leading us to become small group leaders. I think all of that has been God preparing us to be better teachers. And when we go over there, we're not gonna be in an environment like this where we're surrounded by a bunch of believers. We're going to be on our own. And so having that core baseline for teaching and biblical understanding, I think, has been a big preparation for this.
That's great. What kind of work will you guys be doing at Karanda, and how will your engineering backgrounds make a difference in people's lives?
Yeah, so our main focus, of course, is to build relationships with people and share the gospel. But while we're over there, we're going to be working on the wastewater side and the water side, and also just other technical things that need to happen. The medical side of the hospital has a lot of support just from doctors coming in all the time, but the infrastructure underneath is kind of falling apart a little bit. So a pretty cool God thing in my life, I always wanted to go into clean drinking water and learn about those systems, but God had me at a job in wastewater, and it turns out that's exactly what the hospital needs help with, is wastewater, which has been a really cool thing to see God working through that, through my I don't want to do this attitude. He's just showing me, honestly, just how he can do in my life despite my own things. And then Ben is incredibly gifted at making things. He just makes literally anything out of dirt, so pretty much.
You know, the Lord does that, too.
Not quite dirt.
Okay, all right.
So I'll be more on the design side, and then Ben is just going to build kind of whatever I come up with.
Yes. And you didn't realize this was a training on marriage as well. So, yes. So beyond the technical side, what do you hope your presence will mean to the people you'll live and work among?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we want to be sharing the gospel with these people, which I don't think is too far off from what we should be trying to do here at our jobs in America, too. There's not really a big difference there, but there is a huge opportunity, and I think the powerful question in missions is always, like, why are you here? Why did you leave wherever you were and come here? And that question is always on people's minds, and it always opens the door for us to share the gospel with them, and there's a huge need there. Like, these guys that we're working with are not in a lot of contact with the mission side of the hospital. They're the maintenance crew. They're kind of like the rejects of everything, and we'll be the ones there working alongside them. We're not just there to bring this message to them, but we're really every day getting our hands dirty with them and building these strong relationships with them, and we really hope that that will give us a different avenue to share the gospel with them.
So you've shared that your year at Karanda is also about discernment. What are you hoping that God will clarify for you while you're there?
Yeah, the big question for us is, we've been feeling this opportunity from God, and we seriously feel called to spend this year there where we can try and work on some projects and make a big impact. The question that we have is, God has also given us a really big opportunity here with our careers to be able to make money. And so the question is, are we going to be more impactful as boots on the ground there helping in person, or will it become more clear while we're there that we might be more helpful we're still helping, like, as we speak right now, as online support, basically, for them, where they call us and we help them order parts and stuff, and then be able to maintain our careers here and help them. So it's kind of that year of discernment is us really praying and trying to figure out where are we more valuable for the kingdom, basically.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And so I'm going to hear you say it's not a right or wrong. There's just two pathways that the Lord may be leading you in. Last question. How can our church family be praying for you, and how can people stay connected while you are at Karanda?
Yeah, so our biggest prayer request is that just the will of God is done, that His will is on Ben and I's minds just constantly, every single day, that is the most important thing, is that God's will is done. It's a pretty cool place to be in, because whatever God wants to happen will happen, and it's like we just get to be a part of that, which is pretty cool. There's other little things like safety, health, and just discernment of what to do while we're over there, and just making sure we get enough groceries, because the closest place is 3 hours away. Little things like that, but the biggest thing is just that God's will is done. By God's grace, we are $7,000 away from being fully funded, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And if you would like to support, there's QR code up there, our website, or if you want to just sign up to get updates from us, figure out what we're doing while we're over there, you're welcome to do that too.
Yeah. That's awesome. We want to say, number one, thank you guys for sharing what God's doing in your life. We are so glad that God led you here, and we get to be a part of your story and your journey in this. Church family, here's what I want to tell you. There's a couple ways you can respond. Already, Brianna's mentioned, pray for them consistently. So, how the Lord's going to use them. You've heard some specific ways. Like 3 hours for groceries, right? Traveling from Arlington ain't too bad anymore, right? Right? Encourage them while they're away. Find a way to stay connected. Let them know they're not forgotten. They are encouraged. We are praying for them. We are supporting them from here. And if God puts it on your heart, partner financially with them to make this work possible. So we're going to be sharing more details on how you can do that. In fact, there's a next step on the back of your connection card that says, hey, I'd like to partner with the Schultzes in this. And there is a small card in everyone's bulletin that has some additional information, a little reminder that you can use to help you in that. But before we wrap up, we do want to take a moment and we want to pray for the Schultzes together. So we're going to kind of just pray over them. And I'm going to ask you as a church family here in the house, we typically do this when we baptize people, but just as a sign of agreement and unity, I'm going to ask you just to reach your hand in the direction of the Schultzes, and we're going to pray for them together. You can do the same thing if you're at Lighthouse Online as well, wherever you're at. So let's pray together. God, we are so grateful for the Schultzes that they are following the call that you have placed on their lives. It seems clear to us this morning, they are simply wanting to listen to you, they're wanting to learn from you, and they're wanting to use what you've gifted them in for the glory of your kingdom. And so we do pray that I'm sure there's all types of logistics that will still need to be taken care of. Holy Spirit, would you guide those? Would you set them up with really key relationships in Zimbabwe that are open doors for the gospel to go forward. In the moments when they might be feeling afraid or alone or isolated, would those be the moments when a letter, an email, a text, or prayer is being lifted up on their behalf in real time? That God, they would know that you are with them and their church family here is with them as well. God, we love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in the good, matchless name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Hey guys, can we say thank you to Ben and Brianna for being up here this morning with us? Good stuff. Well, thank you guys. We appreciate it. All right. I think that's what it looks like to listen and learn from Jesus, right? It's not just only listening to what the Bible has to say, but then it's actually taking a step to go and do that. Listen, Jesus was sharing, this is how you escape religion. Now, he gives a warning. Jesus gives a warning to the religious leaders if they refuse to see that religion makes them worse, if they refuse to change their minds about religion, if they refuse to listen and learn from Jesus. He gives them a warning. Look at verses 43 through 45 really quickly. It says this. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. This is how it will be when with this wicked generation. Here's the point that Jesus is making in the process of this passage. He's saying this. Not only does religion make you worse, but if you refuse to repent from it, you will keep getting worse. You will keep going deeper and deeper into it. Your heart will become harder and harder to the point where you'll get very, very blind to the work of God right in front of you. Listen, in whatever form it is, religion is not something to be played with. Guys, it is evil. It is not good. And whatever the form is, Jesus did not come to start a religion. He came to rescue people from sin. He came to teach us what life is really supposed to look like. And so if there is one thing I could say, if you don't hear anything else except this morning, my prayer would be this. The only way that you really, truly escape religion is this way, is through trusting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the central aspect. That is the central piece, right? This is what Jesus was talking about when he said to them, right? You remember, they said, hey, show us a sign that you're from God. And what's his response? A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What is Jesus talking about here? His resurrection. He says, I'm not performing tricks for you. I'm not gonna do what you ask me to do. I'm gonna do what you need. And what you need is for me to die in your place for your sins, for your disobedience, and to rise again 3 days later, showing you that there is hope to be set free from sin and from death. And it only comes through Jesus Christ alone. Guys, the only way you find true freedom from religion is putting your hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to rely on the truthfulness of his resurrection. Guys, it really happened. It really happened. You have to know what Jesus' resurrection is. And that only comes through reading and studying the Bible, like we've talked about earlier. You need to know what Jesus' resurrection has accomplished. And in fact, there's a resource out in the welcome area. It's a book, very small book called Christian Beliefs. And there's a chapter specifically on what is the resurrection and what is it accomplished. This might be a great step for some of you to take and to discover. And then you have to stake your life on the resurrection of Christ. You put all your weight on him. And you believe that is the thing that actually changes your life. It's not your rules, it's not your regulations, it's not your religion, it's not your discipline, it's not your hard work, it's none of that. It is faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ alone. I very quickly, I want to talk about something as your pastor, something we haven't talked about for the last couple of weeks. And we've had a few people who've reached out to me or some of our staff members and asked the question, they've gone, hey, our church has been perhaps oddly quiet about some of the events that have happened recently. And specifically, most people are talking about the murder of Charlie Kirk. And they're asking, why? Are we afraid to offend people to talk about that? Is that why we're not discussing it? Let me tell you this, no, that's not it at all. We're not afraid to talk, to offend people about anything. In fact, if you've been at Lighthouse long enough, we are an equal opportunity offender in many different ways, right? So that's not it at all. But I want to share a couple of thoughts because I think as your pastor, some of you are just going, I need some guidance on some of this. So let me share a few things that I'm thinking about. I think what happened is horrifyingly sad. And it's right. And it's okay to call evil, evil. And that's what happened. This is an evil moment. And that's clear. I'm also sad. I'm sad for Charlie Kirk's family and his friends. I thought, man, what if roles were reversed in some kind of a way, right? When the body of Christ mourns, when one part mourns, we all mourn. It seems very evident from what I've seen about his life. This is a guy who loved Jesus and didn't care who knew about it, right? And so that breaks my heart that that's going on. And one other thing that I'm feeling is I'm feeling confused. And let me share with you what I'm feeling confused about. I'm confused by some of the anger that's out there. Not anger in the world, and not even anger in that. What I'm confused about is some of the anger that's in the church directed at the church. That is confusing to me. It's confusing to me about some of the division that this has actually created within the body of Christ. That doesn't surprise me about the world. The world is marked by division. But I'm confused by some of the division that's risen up in light of all of that. And over the last 2 weeks, I've heard a lot of statements made via podcasts. I've heard statements being made via reels and TikTok and videos. I've read some statements on social media. And I started thinking, I have some statements that I'd like to share. And I actually asked our church leadership to gather this morning to say, is it okay for me to share some of these things as on behalf of our leadership? And they're like, yes. Let me share a couple statements with you. Jesus Christ alone saves men from their sins. Jesus Christ alone transforms lives and hearts and minds. Jesus Christ personally rescued me from the kingdom of darkness and has transferred me into God's kingdom of eternal light and glory by his grace. There is no other name except the name of Jesus Christ by which men can be saved. Jesus Christ is the only one that the Holy Spirit testifies about and glorifies. And it's the name of Jesus Christ that one day every knee above the earth, in the earth, and below the earth will bow, and every single tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what we believe as a church. Lighthouse is all about Jesus Christ. Lighthouse has always been all about Jesus Christ. And moving forward, Lighthouse community will continue to always be all about Jesus Christ. That's what people need. It's what you need. It's what I need. Every single day. And this is the point that Jesus was making. He said, something greater than Jonah is here. Something than the greatest prophet. Something greater than the greatest king is here. Something greater than the temple is here. You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus is the greater prophet. Jesus is the greater priest. And Jesus is the greater king. He is the only one who we can have hope in. The only thing that takes a bad man and turns him into a good man is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only thing that brings hope for today and hope forever is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything else falls short. And it's religion. And if you put your hope in that to solve your life, it can't stand up underneath the weight of what you need. And if you'll trust in Jesus, there's still a spirit that enters your life, but it's not an evil spirit who brings seven more evil spirits. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God takes up residency in you, confirms that you belong to him, that you're one of his. He transforms you from the inside out. He causes you to share about Jesus Christ with joy and with hope. And in the process, you'll keep becoming more and more like Jesus. I want to read one last passage and then we're done. Let's read this out loud, starting with Jesus our Lord. Are you ready? Go. Jesus our Lord was handed over to death because of our failures and was brought back to life so that we could receive God's approval. That's the gospel, guys. That's it in a verse. And if you've already said yes to Jesus, here's what I want to tell you. Double down on that. Double down on that like never before. And if you haven't said yes to Jesus, today could be your day. Today can be your day to find freedom for whatever religion you're following. Because it's Jesus who changes lives. No one else. And he can lead you to escape religion. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We end each teaching the same way. And it's just simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And I want you to listen to him for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed for just a moment because I don't want to miss this opportunity. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird, raise your hand, look at me, stand up, nothing along those lines. But if you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit has made it clear that you've been putting your trust in some form of religion, doesn't matter what it is, I don't care what form it is, but he's made it clear that he wants to rescue you out of that, would you just cross the line this morning? Would you just put your faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Whatever your words are, right? I don't know that that matters. You know what my prayer of salvation was? It was, God, whatever you're doing in these people around me, you can do it in me. And God saved me. Not because of the words. He saved me because of him. Because of his character. And so if you're just here this morning, you're going, man, I'm tired of chasing. I'm tired of working. I'm tired of everything being a dead end in my life and feeling empty on the inside. What if you put your hope in Jesus instead this morning? What if you did that? And you made a decision right now that invited God to change your mind and to change your life. And that for the rest of your life, you're going to let Jesus lead you and direct you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do a work in the lives of my family and friends here this morning. There would be people breaking chains of religion and oppression and sin and all of that because the Spirit is at work and applying the good work of Jesus to their lives literally right now. And they would be finding freedom. And I pray that they would let us know as a church family. They would let one of their friends know, today's the day. Well, even if they've been in the church for years or decades, they'd just say, today is the day that Jesus changed my forever. Because we want to rejoice with them. We want to help them, God. We know you love them. The desire is for repentance and to walk with you. God, thanks for this morning. Pray your voice was heard overwhelmingly louder than mine or anyone else's has ever been. This is why we pray for each other, right here, this moment. And so we want to pray for you. The band's going to come up like they always do. They're going to lead us in one final song. And we're going to have prayer leaders in the four corners of the room. I'm going to ask those leaders to go there now and to be ready to receive people in prayer. And during this song, which won't be very long, if you want to pray about anything, if you want to pray for a friend, if you want to pray for yourself, you want to pray for your marriage, you want to pray for freedom, you want to, whatever it is that God may be leading you to pray for, you can pray with people who are trained, ready, and excited to pray with you this morning. You don't have to be a member of Lighthouse to receive prayer. You don't have to be embarrassed to receive prayer because we all need it. I need prayer and so do you. And so I'm going to ask everybody here in the room, let's stand. If you're joining Lighthouse online, there's a button right there that says, I'd like to pray with somebody. You can do that right now and we'll pray for you as well. But I want to pray for you and then I want to invite you to come as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in the name of Jesus alone. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.